Artorama Podcast.
Hi Lohan, thank you very much for your time in doing this Artorama podcast.
Hi Thiago, really nice to see you.
So let's begin with the questions. Let's begin this conversation. You told me that you studied arts in the university, focusing on moving images, a field that you have a PhD, as a matter of fact. And I was wondering if this background has guided your approach in collecting.
I have a PhD in film studies, and actually I used to teach film studies for many years, for 10 years at university in Paris, universities. It was mainly film theory, film analysis, history of moving images. And of course, when you study such things, you shape your eyes somehow. I guess it gives you a kind of culture around images, mainly moving images, according to what I did. But I was specialized also in the connection between films and paintings. So it was bigger than moving images, I mean, wider subjects. So, of course, I think it helped. It made me quite demanding on the images I was considering as a collector, because I have all this knowledge about these images. And of course, it makes myself, and it makes me really demanding on what I'm looking at. For instance, it stopped me for a long time to buy videos, because I had in my mind such important films that these references stopped me on the idea of buying videos, because I was always referring to different type of images, and it was quite a problem. But it started, and now it happens that videos are quite important in the collection. Many video works, more than 100. So I think it helped somehow. Just maybe because it helps to be myself, and it made me myself. So I can't deny that it's part of me, and that reflects on the choices I make. Yeah,
that's beautiful. And besides, you have an additional layer. You are an artist. Do you think your artistic practice influenced your collective approach?
That's clearer, I think, because collections start to develop at the same time I was starting my artistic practice. I started to look at more at fairs, at art galleries, while I was starting to be an artist. At the beginning, there was no intention to be an artist, but it happens that my works were shown in museums and these kind of places. So I had to get informed of what was happening in my field. And I started to get more to galleries. The fact is that I'm a video artist. I'm doing video installation, and it's mainly found footage works. So my practice is also to choose images, to gather images, to make a dialogue between different type of images, connecting images together. And somehow this mechanism is really close to the mechanism you use when you build a collection. You build something through, I clearly build a kind of reflection on my artworks about the way you look at images, what is your relationships to images. And I just realized quite lately that all this was really connected. My collection was shown for the first time in an art center in Toulouse called BBB, and we had a talk with the director, and she made me realize how close it was in the mechanism, the way I was building my collection and the way I work in my art practice. And of course, all my obsessions in my art practice appears in my collection. All is really linked, and linking works together, thinking about buying something because it entertains something interesting with another piece you have in the collection. All these of course, it get connected with my own works. So I bought also pieces to make a dialogue with mine and the one I was making. So sometimes I consider work through my own practice, thinking there would be an interesting collection to all kind of work because I made a certain type of works. For instance, I bought of Elina Proterus quite lately on the subject of the Annunciation, which appears twice in my work. But if I chose these particular photographs of Elina, it's especially because I made myself Annunciation in my work. So all this can be kind of connected in different ways. And I think mainly because of the mechanism. It's all what I did in my work is for me quite close in what I do with in my collection with the.
And then there is as well this temptation to buy art that you mentioned to me in one of our talks. And you told me as well that there wasn't an intention to be a collector at the beginning, right?
Of course there wasn't. I think, I'm not sure that anyone starts to buy to be a collector. I don't know, maybe you know more than me, but for me, collector doesn't mean anything for me. It's not, I'm not trying to be a collector. I'm just a collector because I'm not building a collector identity. I have my art practice, and the main thing is to buy, it's to work on an art practice and to build something through my practices, because I have different type of practices, but I'm not trying to be a collector. The fact is that I started to buy works, like I guess many people do, because you like an artwork and you want to have it home. It means something to have it. To have it around you, but little by little, it becomes something else, and you are considered by a collector. The problem is, when are you starting to be a collector? How many works do you need to be a collector, and what does it mean to be a collector today? The fact is that I have hundreds of works, of artworks that I bought, and so I guess I'm considered as a collector, but there's clearly no intention to be one. It's just what happened with time somehow.
That's really interesting. There is as well, I think it's important to mention here, that the Label story, you know? So mm-hmm. How they were interested in your way as an artist and collector, I was wondering, and how did you separate the idea of investment of an approach of owing a collection that hasn't a link to investments?
Yeah, the Label story is really linked to my family because it's linked to a family business who is a food business, mainly a cheese business, which is led by the family for the fifth generation. And at my level, at the fifth generation, there was consideration, I think, but I didn't understand at that time, to understand how the skills of the different members of the family could help the business. So when at the moment I was invited in a family meeting to have a face and idea. Someone told me it would be interesting to build a collection. What would you think as an investment? We could buy works and then we can sell back the works and owe money. Do you think it would be a good idea? Would you think about that? Would you agree to be part of that? So, of course, my intention when I'm making a collection is far to be an investment. I'm conscious that galleries knows how to distinguish people who buy art to make money and people who are building a collection. And for sure, they don't propose the same artworks to these two types of collectors, because it's important to know where the good works. People, artists and galleries like to know where the works are going and are really considering these ideas. So it wasn't presented like that. I just I was surprised my family want me to be an investor because I'm really bad in such sort of things. I'm not really good to have money, and it's not really what interests me in life. So I thought it was too important to just take out this idea and explain to them that if they want to make money, maybe art was not the best way to do. Or at least they have to choose bigger values with much more money to be considered. And then it was quite risky to place money on art. That was a job, and I was certainly not the one who was able to make it. But building a collection could be interesting for the business in a way that the business started with also artistic collaboration in the 90s. There were important illustrators who helped to make the products of the business important, among which Benjamin Rabier was the first to make the laughing cow, to draw the laughing cow, which is our main product. And maybe people who are listening to the program know. So it was important to get back to this history and try to explain that the collection could be interesting for different reasons. And maybe it was to support artists, to support art, and maybe sharing values through artworks, because artworks are have values and are reflecting some values. And having a collection could be interesting in that way. So the label project was built at that time and became a program, because now Labelle is not only a collection, but it's also an exhibition program and event program. It has different type of layers, and they accept the project, stood our collection could be interesting for them as well, as a kind of window of what they were doing and the values they were pushing through the business.
That's really cool. I was wondering how you separate the multiple standing points. I mean, your practice, your own collection, Labelle's collection. How is it for you?
To make a separation between my collection and Labelle's collection, you have to choose artworks, and you have to choose in what collection the artworks should go. Sometimes I'm really tempted to buy the works which I think should go to Labelle's collection. She has to reflect the business. You have to explain all the choices you made to the administrators. You're not choosing alone. So it's not the same story. It's not the same mechanism. It's not the same. You are not dealing the same way. It's not the same budget. It's quite different. So it's not that difficult to consider both collections separately, though I think at the end, this collection will be together. I think at the moment they will be connected finally. But I'm not trying to demonstrate anything through my collection. And it's important to demonstrate something through Labelle collection. So it's not really the same spirit. And for the other levels, I think all this is really connected. And you're getting on, and something that you consider for your collection can be interesting for your art. And something of the collection is important to your curatorial practice as well. So they are different, all get connected in somehow, and it's not a problem, I think, if you have multiplying the layers, it's a kind of richness, and it's helpful, and so it's not so problematic. Yes. Just get focused on art and art theory, art reflection, and it's not so important to separate all these elements.
Yes, indeed. And I was thinking about this concept that I mentioned to you about invisibility. How does it play in your collection? I mean, probably with what you mentioned before, with the different moves of the collection. Not sure if there's a relation to that, you know?
Yes, of course, there is. I think you're mentioning the evolution of the collection itself. It for sure you start with things you want to collect, things that you have in your place, and you consider them to have them around you. Then you start to buy things which doesn't fit your place because they are too big or they are too noisy, or you don't want to a sound piece all the time around you, or you don't want to have a video all the time lit on around you. I wouldn't like that. So there is different gaps, different steps that you are following in a collection, considering things for yourself and things which are not really, which you don't buy for your home. You buy for different ideas, and you start to buy quite things that become difficult. You start to buy performances. You start to buy other type of examples of things that you wouldn't have owned, that you can't storage or are difficult. So immaterial things are really, really great when you have storage problems. It's really practical. But it's not the path I follow to get interested to these visible pieces, which are really helpful for your storage and to collect, because it doesn't take so much room to keep these works. I think it's also really linked to my art practice, this question of invisibility, the question of the power of the artwork. There is this invisible mechanism which brings your attention, which cuts your attention. And I think artworks deal a lot with this idea of invisibility. Something with the artworks, which can be only linked to its material aspect. There is a kind of magic, if I can say, invisible mechanism that artwork holds in a certain way. So this question, I think it's important when you consider art.
For sure. And let's think a little bit about specific works of your collection. For example, the Rainbow of Daniel Gustav Kramer. I think it's a good example of invisibility, you know, in your collection, don't you think?
Yes, for instance, it's an artwork which plays with different layers of colors which are painted on the wall. So you start to paint your wall in one color, then a few days later you use another color, and little by little you are building these rainbow colors which disappear after a certain time behind a white layer of painting. So it's a really internal work. Reflects a lot of this idea I just mentioned, of the power of the artwork. There is something behind the layer which plays on you, which reflects something which is really wide, which can take so different forms. An artwork can provoke some feelings sometimes, but these feelings are moving to something different. It is something that follows your own story, and you consider it through what happens in your life and the different way you consider things. I think the idea of layers of something, yes, which is shining behind the surface, is really close to what an artwork is, and that what Kramer did in quite a similar way than Pierre Wick did with his Timekeeper somehow, which is playing with the space, and which was a piece I consider quite a really long time for my collection before it became a kind of series quite lately. I finally chose other pieces of Pierre Wick for different reasons, but it's really a piece I consider to buy quite a long time, this Timekeeper. Reflects something of a story, deals with time, deals with your own story and the story of the artwork. So I think there are so many ways to consider this invisible layers that it becomes really rich, and somehow the more immaterial the artwork is, the wider aspects you can link to it somehow, because it opens so many things. The more elements you have, maybe the more you are focusing on these elements, and it traps you in a certain direction. And the more immaterial it is, the wider it opens the wider paths to your consideration somehow. Invisibility is a way to get you further and further, and because you start from nothing, and or so many little things, it keeps your intellect so far after that, I think.
And just to finish up, I think it would be really nice if you could mention the burn photograph of Douglas Gordon.
Yes, I was really seduced by this series when I saw it the first time at Yvon Lambert. There was different type of photographs. Became really large. There are so many samples of this series today. Of course, I'm interested to moving images and cinema history. And this series started really with actors' photographs. And so, of course, it rang a bell to me. I'm interesting, and Douglas Dorgan has also this practice on found footage images and on films themselves. So it had to be an artist who interested me in different ways. But for a strange reason, I chose this, the one I had, which is a really minimal one. It's really, it's just a little sheet of paper. It's so close. It's really a fragment of photograph. You usually in this series, you can recognize the actors which are photographed. You can recognize the subject. And when I visited Douglas Gordon's studio in Berlin, I was lucky to saw two or three works of this type, which were this only little fragment of paper which left from the burnt. And for strange reasons, it's this one that I chose to get in my collection, because maybe it was less figurative, and maybe for the same reason, I like the idea I couldn't get connect to the first subject, but the subject burned itself so much that nothing really was left of this burning aspect. What I like also in this series, it's titled Self-Portrait, Me plus You. I think that's the name of the series. And so it gathers the artist as a self-portrait, a me and a you that can be the viewer, then can be the actor, which is photographed and whose photography was burned. And there is a kind of idea that there is a connection, which is getting with the viewer, with the artwork, with the artist, which are quite important consideration for myself as well. How all this get connected, and what happens with the viewer, how he can transform the artwork through his glance, what happens when a viewer, our artwork exists through the viewer itself. And I like this idea, especially linked with this idea of burning, of destroying, which is not really destroying, according to me, it's more transforming to something other, another type of thing, which is far from the first intention, but starts to be something thanks to the artist intervention, thanks to the viewer interventions. And I like this aspect. That's something is really lively in the artwork, as the rainbow behind the white layer of Kramer's work. There is something which is always moving, and I think something which can define an artwork is really this dynamism, this propension to move you somewhere. There is a kind of thing which is really dynamic, and all this can be considered through a little sheet of burnt paper.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you very much, Lohan. It was wonderful talking to you, and thank you very much for making your collection visible to us.
Thank you for your time, Thiago. It's always a pleasure for me. Goodbye to you.
Goodbye. Ciao, ciao.
Artorama Podcast.